Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito, Matt, and Dave here with you. And I think this time around, gentlemen, I think we're going to look to the future. I think we can say that Kent Hughes has played his hand, right? I think we talked about this. Am I wrong to say that, guys? Is it wrong to say, did you always think that, like, never this, it was never going to be playoff, always full rebuild, never a chance? It was just, this is what's going to happen. He's going to get close to trade deadline and trades were going to occur and they were going to move assets, like, from the day one? Or now that Monahan has been traded, that really was floodgates open. The hand is played. It is full on seller. Let's start talking about next season. Let's talk about the draft. What do you think?
For me, you kind of know my opinion and my feelings on this. I knew that we're still in rebuild, so it was going to be, you know, status quo. The plan was going to continue, and at some point, Monahan was going to move, and there's other pieces that are going to move that on other teams are probably more of a fixture for a playoff spot and for playoff success. So it's status quo for me.
No surprise for Vito. Dave?
Yeah, no real surprise either. I mean, I would have liked them to see them maybe, you know, retain Sean Monahan. We talked about this last episode, just in the sense of he fit well with the team. But I'm not surprised that they're sellers. Like, obviously, I think that's what the general direction is going towards. And I think it's what makes most sense, right? Like, you can't just keep retaining players and hoping for this magical. Like, the playoffs were never really in the targets for this season. So I'm all for it.
All right. I mean, I think we're all in agreement to that. I know a couple fans out there that have commented in previous episodes. And again, always thank you for those comments. I'll throw it out now. If you haven't already, please consider liking and subscribing. But they've mentioned, like, you know, perhaps they were a little gaslit by the team initially because they showed a lot of promise and, oh, maybe this could be some sort of, like, magical season. No, it really wasn't going to be. There was never really a push towards playoffs that were ever possibly viable. Realistically, things kind of average out over the course of a season. And so here we are. But I like to think that the Monahan trade legitimately was the pivot towards this is out now. It's no longer a thought. It's no longer a discussion. They're sellers. Let's start talking about the offseason. Let's start talking about draft. One thing I wanted to bring up to you, and I kind of posed this question, give you guys a little bit of time before the episode, not too much, to say, if I said to you in the offseason, in any means that can be done, trade, free agency, offer sheet, whatever. It doesn't matter. The Canadiens have a tremendous amount of draft picks in the next two drafts. I think it's something like 24 picks, a bunch of firsts as well, a bunch of seconds as well. They have a plethora of defensive prospects. Most people would look at this and suggest that there is a package there to net you a top six. And so my question to you guys was, clearly, with the amount of defensive prospects they have, they won't be out looking in the market for defense. They're looking to bolster offense. The team needs offense. If you were to even say that Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slafkovský are going to be your number one line, then give me a guy who solidifies that second line, who takes that top six to the next level. If you're not comfortable with Caulfield, Suzuki, or Slaf on your first, then give me the home run hit of a player that you think takes one of their spots on that top line. Who is that guy that if you had Kent Hughes' ear, you would be whispering to him, you should go and do what it takes to get that guy because it will take this team, that top six, to that next level. Who is it? And I presume it's not a prospect. I think we're at the point now there's been enough prospects and enough. It could be reclamation project. Could be a guy in a down year. I won't say no. But I want to know, in your opinion, who do they go for? We'll start with you, Dave. Tell me.
With me.
We'll start with you. I think you got a name. I see it sparkling in your eyes. Who do you got?
Well, you know, we spoke about this a few episodes ago, right? When you're like, you're going to have to go do some research and look it up. And it's hard to tell, right? Like, I'll preface this by saying that, like, I find it very difficult to do these exercises because you never know who's available until you hear the rumblings, until you see, you know, the situations unfold. You could pick any name out of a hat that would fit well there, but you never know if it's going to be a match
Okay. Just quickly, though, I got one thing because it's been a couple times that people have said this about us and it always makes me laugh. They lead a comment in our comment section by saying, thank goodness you guys aren't running the team. Obviously, we're not running the team. This is a fan podcast. We're having some fun. If I say, obviously, I want them to go after Dreisaitl or McDavid, you'd all think I'm insane because it can never happen. And rightfully so. But it's an opinion. I would love for it to happen. I'm not saying that's the case. But if we throw out a name, a big name on a team, and we hit 1,000 people coming back at us telling us it'll never happen. We know that. But it's called, who would you want them to at least kick tires on? Who would you want them to go after? Obviously, it doesn't have to be people who are always available. Go ahead, Dave. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, please tell me who you think they should go after.
Tell us how you really feel. Well, look, I mean, there's a few. I do. You know, if you look at trade partners that make sense, you look at teams that are selling. Right now, the only real team that we've known that are for sure probably in sell mode is going to be Columbus, right? You look at that. So you look at who they got there in their cupboards. They have Ken Johnson, former fifth overall pick. He's a forward, not, you know, probably living up to what people expected of him. So he's another one of those, you know, probably reclamation projects, but that people would probably be happy with because it's a name that, you know, is pretty recent, been out there. Other than that, you have to look at teams that are on the downswing, in my opinion, if you want to go look at things like that. And for me, a team that sticks out, and this is going to sound crazy, and I want to preface this by saying that I don't think this is going to happen. Okay. But you asked me what I would do, and I would be looking at teams that are on the downswing. And there's not a lot of them, to be honest. To be fair, there are a lot of teams that are bad, but that are rebuilding or in rebuild mode, or that are just don't have any assets that really would interest the Montreal Canadiens. So you got to be realistic, all right? You can't go look at Chicago and say like, oh, I'm going to pick their prospects, because they're not going to trade their prospects to you. They're rebuilding. Same thing with a lot of those teams.
Well, they did it already, but okay, go on.
Yeah, okay, but that's a reclamation project again, and I'm not for the reclamation projects. I'm okay with it if it doesn't cost much. But at the end of the day, I don't think that these guys and the Canadiens paid a premium, whether you like to admit it or not. Like, they paid a premium to get Kirby Dach, right? So like, it's not as if they got him for nothing. So they paid to get him. So I'm looking at the Minnesota Wild, okay? And I wasn't going to originally say this on the podcast, but we had a conversation. So I'm gonna go out there.
Careful now.
And I'm gonna go look at the Minnesota Wild. And there's a guy there, obviously a superstar, right? A superstar that has, I think, 2.5 years left on his deal. Who, from what if you peruse X Hockey X or Hockey Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and follow the Minnesota Wild fan blogs and whatnot, he's reportedly unhappy there. Okay, now I don't know. I don't know any of this. I don't have any insider information. I don't want everyone to yell at me and tell me I'm stupid and don't know anything about hockey. But Kirill Kaprizov is a very interesting name to me. That is a type of splash. Like, I feel every few years there's a big guy move, a big name move, and it's always one team that's going to get him, right? And I know it's ridiculous to say, but why not the Canadiens? Why not make it? They would probably be in a position to go and make that move. So why not make a splash in the Western Conference? You're not worried about that. I mean, like, there's a million factors that are going to go into this to making a move like this. But if you can call if you could call the Minnesota Wild up and see what's up over there, and see what it would take, just start the conversation, man. Start the conversation, see what it works. Because we're talking top six. This guy's top six. This guy's top six.
This guy's top. He takes a top spot on your team.
He becomes number one on Montreal.
This is number one. Yeah.
And we talk nonstop about star power and a person to score goals and this and that. And I'm not saying he's available, and he's probably not available. Again, I don't want people coming at me for this. But
he's the guy that you're saying that if Kent uses to make the phone call, and entertain a discussion on what it would take, which you know would take a king's ransom. Like, I can't
even. It's everything. It's who on defense do you want? He's yours. You get our first. You get Calgary's first. You get everything. It's everything. This is a 100+ point player. This is a monster.
You open up the treasure chest and you say,
who do you want?
Let's go.
Baskin Robbins, baby. Tell me. I give it to you. All 46 flavors. Let's go.
And there's no time of the present to do it. So
is this the time, though, to be fair? Just to humor the conversation a bit, because if you go all in, you're now giving up all of these first-round picks. You're giving up top defensive prospects. You're going all in on this guy. That means that they must feel, if this were the case, that they're at a certain point.
Unless it comes out and it's confirmed, like similar to like PLD, where he was like unhappy, that it's confirmed that Kaprizov wants out, you don't jump that or have that conversation, because you know as a Montreal Canadian, as a Kent Hughes, you're going to lose more than you should. If he comes out and it's literally leaked that he is unhappy and it's 100% confirmation, Well, now the value comes down a little bit.
Why does it even have to be leaked?
Yeah.
Like maybe he just calls them.
Okay. And also it doesn't necessarily always have to be because he's unhappy, right? And I think that this is a thing that we harp on nowadays because everything's so on to social media and, oh, they'll never move anybody unless they're unhappy with where they are. But we've seen it time and time again. And that's because we've seen guys like Panarin be unhappy and other guys, and they've kind of dictated where they wanted to go. But it doesn't necessarily, not all NHL trades of superstars and stuff like that is because someone's unhappy. It's just because the circumstances permitted. It's just because a team needed a change of scenery. A guy needed to change of scenery, but also teams. Sometimes teams just have to move on and take the next step. And I know it seems crazy for Minnesota to ever even consider trading Kirill Kaprizov. But if that's the case, I mean, maybe you entice him. You're right. You give him a call and you say, look, this is what I got. This is what I'm willing to part with. Let's start the conversation. It doesn't necessarily have to hint at because he wants out of Minnesota. Like I find that that's a trope that we use a lot of as hockey fans that you don't always see in other sports that like, oh, he's unhappy here. He's unhappy there. So that's why he's going to make the move. Not every trade is because someone's unhappy. So, you know,
no, that's fair. I mean, listen, that's like a super scenario. Let's just say it a million times for everybody who's listening. It's not happening. We're not saying that Kirill Kaprizov is coming to Montreal. But I pose the question, who would you go and kick tires on? Who would you go and say, this is the guy, if I could, this is the target? I mean, you make it make sense. In the insanity that it is, you make it make sense. You might as well, you say, you know what? Maybe they try to go for it and they're on a down year. They don't go playoffs. And maybe they go and the GM there says, hey, you know what? We got to start it over. What we put together is just not doing it. We gotta start it over, and we can't afford to pay Krill. You know, we're gonna lose 4 years of his 8 years that we signed him for. Let's unload and get the maximum value, and they would get a tremendous return. But that's cool. That's a monster one. So if I were to just summarize for you, the monster one is Krill, and then the more, hey, maybe they go and they see Ken Johnson.
Even that, I'm not 100% I would do Ken Johnson, right? I know a lot of people are high on him, but again, it's another project. It's another, you know, he hasn't lived up to his expectations, and I'm not sure it's the perfect fit either. So it's a tough, these exercises are always difficult because then the fans and the listeners of the podcast hold you to your answers and they put you in the corner and you're like, look at this idiot. And I get it. I get that it can make you seem extremely stupid, but if for the thought exercise that it is, that is what I'm seeing and going for. You know, I mean, I you could have been even more ridiculous and said, hey, you know, the Leafs, if they don't make the, if they get cut in the, lose in the first round again, maybe they think of moving one of their top four, core four guys. And you look at Bishmar, that's even more ridiculous. And that will even,
yeah.
More, so you can at least know that I spared you a thought, something crazy.
Well, yeah. The expectation was you're going to tell me something that has some semblance of a possibility. And it does. It's improbable, but it has a pot. You don't come and tell me all of a sudden they're going to trade Nylander after what they just signed him.
Well,
and
no. So
that's it. Okay. Vitor, you've had plenty of time to think about this now. You've had a lot of thoughts, I'm sure, rolling around in that head of yours. Who is it? Who do they go after in the offseason?
The guy I would target with the rumors swirling around that team, and if we're going to go based on, like Dave saying, a bit of a downward trend going on with that team, I think I would go with Quinton Byfield. And I think he would come in right away in the top six. Not a problem there. He's on an upward trend. Right now, LA's, even though they're a playoff team, there's all that situation going on with PLD, the recent comments with Drew Doughty saying that there's players that are too focused on their stats and so on. And I think I would try to pluck that guy out of that team, especially when you think of last year where some fans at the age of 20, 21 were already kind of giving up on Byfield and wondering what's happening with them. And some were giving up because of the way that LA was using him. Some were just giving up because they were questioning whether he would even amount to anything or if he was a bust being a second overall pick. But now you're looking at him coming out and putting up the numbers and playing on the top line and things like that. And he has, the story there is very similar to a Kirby Doc, but his game is different than Kirby Doc. Similar size, similar frame, similar, but he's much tougher to defend. He's got that skill. It gives that versatility that even if you play him on the second line and not exactly on the first line, him and Kirby Doc could be interchangeable because they're both versatile in that whole left and center position. He's only 21 years old. I feel he kind of fits with where Montreal is going. So I would, again, former second overall pick, I would say I would try to pluck Quentin Byfield. You could do an offer sheet there. Maybe a trade could happen. But
offer sheet. How dare you?
Well, it's possible. It's possible. And it's not to say that LA wouldn't match. They probably would. But he's the guy that I think is a bit more, it's a bit realistic to try to go for and would immediately make an impact in your top six. Now, if I want to go for a bit more of a attainable but likely not going to happen, would be Pittsburgh, Jake Guentzel. I think he's a guy that can produce, score goals, get you in between 80 and 90 points. He's definitely would be Montreal's best goal scorer, and he's still in that 28, 29 range, if I'm not mistaken. So you definitely get good years of service from him, and by the time Montreal, we hope, if it's another 2 years in the rebuild, he's still young enough that he would still be productive enough. So I don't know what the cost would be, but Pittsburgh's definitely a team that's going to have to go on a rebuild. They're going to have to accept that. And I think Jake Guentzel could definitely fit there. And I think there's contracts that could go on the other end and prospects and all that to make it all kind of work. Now, is he a player that would want to come to Montreal? Not too sure. But I could definitely see him right away and no question being a top six impact right away for the Montreal Canadiens.
I mean, that's really interesting because he's a guy who's probably might get dealt at the deadline. He's been linked to a few teams already. And obviously, he won't get dealt to Montreal at the deadline, but he's a guy who maybe could come around later on. He's going to be 30 next at the beginning of next season, I believe.
He's probably a touch older.
Yeah. I mean, if you consider 30 old, I mean.
Well, I mean, compared to, because it's all about context in the window, right? Like, it's all about where they're at now and who they go and do this. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I can't see a scenario where Kent Hughes keeps all these picks and all of these defensive prospects. It just simply mathematically doesn't make sense. So the best thing that he can do is put together a really competitive package and go and get a guy who fits the age bracket that you get back here and sign for a prolonged period of time that fits where you know he's going to grow with the team and he's going to be there once they're competitive. I mean, Jake Guentzel, yeah, you're right. He'd come in here, he'd be the best goal scorer. He'd be the best player, provided, of course, he's not all smoke and mirrors coming from playing with Crosby.
Well, there.
That aside, let's say he keeps what he's got. At the end of the day, he's 30. If we come back to the rebuild schedule that we're in and we're only in year three, like we keep saying, of potentially a five-year rebuild, so he's going to be 32, already 2 years into his contract by the time they start trying to be competitive, legitimately. The age there doesn't work well. And that's why when I was doing this exercise myself, I was looking at guys who are becoming RFAs that are like 22, 23, that have like a lot of upside, not reclamation projects, guys that are trending up, that haven't hit their mark yet, but they're trending up. That's kind of like where I was thinking about where this was going. It's still difficult. I mean,
I gave you two. I gave you one that fits the bill, fits what your description. And I gave you another one who I think is a bit older, can still be a veteran and bring another, probably take the team to another level. And that's not even counting when you look at, let's say they do get some like Jake Guentzel who fits in right away. Now all of a sudden you kind of, you know, throw in whoever they draft this year, if they're able to even start right away. Now you're looking at, you have a top six, not just one line. Right. But even if you take somebody like Quentin Byfield, like I suggested, you also have a top six. They're just two different style, two different players and with two different mindsets behind them.
No doubt. I mean, I look at the list. I mean, the way that I did it, right. So I positioned myself to look at RFAs that are upcoming so that you can, I feel like as an RFA, you get your best bang for your buck. Because they're not locked into contracts that you haven't given them yet. You trade and get them, and then you can work it out to how you need that money to work for your team. So when I was doing this exercise, there was a couple names that popped out. One that I thought was interesting. What do you guys think of Casey Mittelstadt?
Yeah, he's a guy. You know, interestingly enough, when I was talking talking to some Minnesota guys that I know, they're very high on Casey Mittelstadt, right? Like he's a guy. But again, they would probably have to give up, you know, it'd be part of a bigger trade for that because Casey Mittelstadt's an asset for, you know, for Buffalo.
It is. And I just look at, like you said, right? Buffalo's not quite there yet. they can say that their lack of success can make them perhaps take a step back and reassess and then kind of fix a little bit, gets a little bit more picks in.
It's a tough sell.
I'm not saying that this is going to happen. Let's keep coming back to this so that people don't eviscerate us. I'm just saying when you look at it, when I look at that template, 25 years old, he's in the right age bracket. He can play left wing, he can play center. He's got 42 points in 50 games this season. Like that to
I
me
just don't, yeah, is but I, like, mm. he's a nice piece to the puzzle. I just don't see him as being the player that you look and say he takes that top six to another level.
You don't think Casey Middlestat takes the top six to another level?
Not really.
Not pinnacle, but another level? Really?
Well,
I guess like, what you're saying, man. He is not, you know, what's his, I don't think he's hit 20 goals, has he? Like
he's got 12 goals and 30 assists.
Okay, no, but I mean like 20 goals ever in a season.
Oh, ever. Let me pull it up fast.
I feel like getting a Casey Middlestat is just getting more of the same.
No. I kind of, I'm...
15.
Yeah,
see, well, 15. More of the same.
Yeah.
Listen, do he's you think...
Piece. You know, he's a good
piece. But do you think the top line, which is a young top line that is going up, right? So let's, do you believe that that's their top line, or do they need to find a guy on the top line? Like they got to go out and go hit a grand slam, or do they really, should they prefer to keep that top line intact and that's your number one and go find a guy who's a two, a second line guy?
That's a good question. And I think that I'm looking to improve that top line. I think that top line has a lot of room for improvement in many ways, but it's not the end of the world if you're stuck with that top line. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying.
If I'm Ken Hughes,
like that, you can work with that top line, right? Because they're only, you know, ostensibly they're all going to improve, right, in the next few years. So you can improve that line, and they could grow together, and they can. But at the end of the day, I would be looking to improve it if I could. I would be looking to add a guy either on the wing or even at center. And I've spoken this about before. I'm not 100% sold on Nick Suzuki as a top line center. And if you could have a good 1-2 punch, and I know people are talking about Kirby Dach eventually being there, we have to see it before I commit to that. So for me, I'm looking to improve that first line. That's my answer. I don't know if you'll be able to, but
that's very fair. It's a very fair assessment. When we look at like Quinton Byfield, I think is a great name. I just don't think that LA is going to part with him for anything. Also, yes, I just don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think, but this is the exercise that you brought up, right?
That's fair.
The only guy. He's one of the few that I look at and say, okay, he's got the upside, okay, and the potential to be in something else in a couple more years. You know, to really drive a line, to be a superstar, so to speak. He's got that upside. And Jake Guentzel has the impact to come in right away and change a top six. So, and both, in my opinion, with the right conversations, are technically attainable. One is going to be a UFA at the end of the year. So that's a whole different conversation. And that's about money and you know, whether that Jake Guentzel sees himself as being a Montreal Canadian and there's the right sell job there. The other one would be a different conversation altogether. And it's, hey, this is what it was last year. This is what it is this year. What's going on? What would it take? Can we have a conversation? And I think when you look at Montreal and LA, given the prospects that Montreal has, especially on defense and all that, something can be, and all the first round picks, something can be worked with LA. LA thinks that their window's there now, you know, and that's why they went to get PLD. But something's not working there.
Yeah, and now comments are really starting. Want to unload Byfield? When PLD is obviously the problem.
I don't think they want to unload Byfield. I just it's just that's the kind of conversation that you can have with a player like that when Montreal's a young team that they are.
I mean, to be
top line, man,
and also to say that's not working. I mean, they're in a top wild card position. It's year one after acquiring Dubois. I think you need to let time for the team to gel and stuff like that. I don't think it's any time for them to panic at all. Were they expected to be a little bit better than they were now? Maybe, but they're still in a playoff position. Like, I don't think.
I said that before. They're still in a playoff position, but it's been a little rough the last couple of weeks, the last few weeks rather. So I'm not saying go call and say do it right now. If there's a player I would target if I was Kent Hughes or have a conversation and that I think is more, there's more of a chance of acquiring him versus Kaprizov, let's say, or something, a bigger splash, which I think Montreal could use a big splash Don't get me wrong.
That'd be beautiful.
But right. Yeah, I just think that
cooler breath, though.
Byfield is the kind of player, and or Gensel, if you want to look at it a little differently. Those are the two players that I think that a conversation can take place without the phone being hung up on Kent Hughes.
So I will say this much. I didn't think about a big splash guy when I was like thinking about the question and coming up with names myself. I'll give you my last two names, and then upon reflection, I'll give you the one that I think is never going to happen, but why not throw it out there? We're all throwing out a little bit of craziness today. So I'll get to that in a second. I got one. Again, the trade partners, I don't know, but again, I'm just going to say. So Martin Nikas.
Very good. I was actually thinking him. That's good. He's a good fit.
I if they can swing that somehow, and I know that there's the whole Carolina-Montreal thing, but that was a previous regime, so perhaps, you know, bygones be bygones. But you look at a guy like that, 25 years old, right wing. He's got 31 points in 41 games this year. He has gotten close to 30 goals in the previous year. I think he got 70-something points last season. I mean, that could be a nice little something-something. Again, it's not the sexy monster splash like you guys are throwing names out there. But I think if you can make something happen.
There's a log jam in Carolina. The only problem is I think they would be more inclined to move to somebody like Tara Vinen to open up that space. Versus moving somebody like Nikas or Jarvis.
Yeah.
Because those are...
I saw Jarvis too. I don't know if you'd make that happen. I don't know. But
Nikas is it's a very good one. In fact, you mentioned Mittelstadt before. While Nikas might not be sexy, I'd rather make a play for Nikas than Mittelstadt.
I would agree with that.
I would also.
28 goals last season.
He's got a better scoring touch. And then my other guy was... what. I don't even know. Dawson Mercer.
There's rumors around him. I know, yeah. New Jersey Devils. Like I speak to a couple of Devils fans, and
they're prepared to move him. The fans are prepared to move him. No, I know that much.
The fans are more prepared to move Alexander Holtz versus Mercer. But it's like they're New Jersey fans, similar to Montreal. We always want to give the player that he's the one we're willing to sacrifice. Yeah, well,
it's always a spare piece. The spare piece can always go.
That's not to say that Alexander Holtz can't become something. He's got he's got upside. He's a high pick too. But Dawson Mercer, while it's a down year for him, when you see him playing and you see his speed, and that's a good pick too, Matt. He's also a reclamation project, so to speak. There's definitely New Jersey's having trouble figuring out where to play this player and where to place him on the roster and in their top nine these days. Like Jack Hughes has to get hurt for him to be in the top six. You know, it has to be like that in New Jersey. And you know that this is a kid that needs top 6 minutes in the near future at the very least.
I don't say no. And I also think when I thought of Dawson Mercer, it made me laugh because one of the things that was out there, there's that newer Twitter account, which is fantastic. The one that exposes like bad takes for Habs and stuff, that guy. So shout out to him. I wish I had his name up right now, but if you're listening, you probably know this guy. You're probably following him. He's very, very funny. And one of the bad takes that he caught was like somebody being really upset that they took Caden Gooley over Dawson Mercer. And like, oh, they're going to regret that in the future. And of course, Gooley being what Gooley is now and how he's for a lot of people an untouchable on the team. It'd be a nice kind of poetic tie to now say that they somehow were able to acquire Mercer as well, and they got Gooley and Mercer from that 2020 draft.
I know to some New Jersey fans, that conversation does not take place if it doesn't include in a package, and supposedly a significant one, because I've spoken to that Jack has to be in there. He has to be in there as to get things started.
We'll talk about our untouchables and like things of that in a moment, or perhaps even next episode as I see the time that we're already at here. But I'll throw my bomb out there. I feel like everybody has the bomb. I got to throw out a bomb. It's not going to happen. I say again, it's not going to happen. But for the sake of the exercise, why not go ahead and give up 4 first round picks? You offer Sheet Pedersen and you go nuts. You do it. You just do it. You do it. Why not? Of course it's not going to happen. It's insane that I even said it. But you know what? You do it. Why not?
He has to want to sign that contract, right? Like, I don't know.
Guys, I keep saying it's not going to happen. I prefer my other realistic choices but you guys decided to throw out some pretty incendiary names out there. Vito, a little less so, but I think Kaprizov is a pretty good one. And I like the justification, the attempt to justify it. I think it's a lot of fun. I think if you're going to say names like that, 25 years old at Pettersson, what he's done, obviously, given where he's at on the team and given what the team is now suddenly doing, he won't want to leave. It's not happening. But if we're talking fictitious, fun world, that would just...
Well, there's one name, because it might come up in the comments. There's one name we didn't bring up because it's the hot name that's circulating around Montreal and all that. It's Trevor Zegras. And the only reason why we didn't bring him up is because we spoke about him two episodes ago. So just go listen to that episode.
Well, listen, I there's a lot of people from that episode and from just general comments in social media in the Habs universe here. I'm getting the sense more people don't want him than want him. And I mean, and we're not even talking about what it would give up to get him. They're simply saying this guy is locker room poison. He's a me guy. He's not going to achieve anything more than what he already got, 60 plus points. That's what he is. He's not worth
it. I don't think people are against his skill set. Okay. They're not against what he can bring on the ice. I think right now the impression that a lot of people have and the vibe that that Zegras has given out over the last 2 years has been that he's a bit of a prima donna, that it's, you know, it's about him. It's about, you know, all the hype that went on around him, and some of it was because of him, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, that crazy first rookie year and you know, the NHL uplifting him being on the cover of a game and all of these things. And so a lot of it is not exactly his fault, but a lot of it has to do with the way he carries himself too and whatnot, you know, the complaining on the ice when he's there, and it's all part of the growth and being young and whatever. But I think most Habs fans can see that this kid can, there's some flashes of I don't want to say greatness, but there's some good moments with the guy. You'll see some moments where he might get you up off your seat if he actually came to Montreal. But I could also see how he can also frustrate you when he's on the ice. And it's just a question of, do I want Trevor Zegras on the team? Sure, but not at any cost.
I think,
like, I would not trade a Caden Gooley for him.
Well, you know what? It's funny, right? Because go back a couple episodes, I think the vibe was a little bit more like you're prepared to give to get him. Now I think the vibe on Trevor Zegras, for whatever reason, but it just the things you read and from what you see and stuff, it seems like no. If you can make a hockey trade work for Zegras, you go for it. But you don't give anything and everything to get him.
I want to point out that I was on that train.
You were always on that train. Okay. I'm not saying that. I still think if you can go get Zegras, you get Zegras. I think you do it. I think you pair him back with Caulfield. I think the two become dynamic. I think you do it. But if you told me, well, Matt, you got to give up Montreal's first this year, and you got to give up a top defensive prospect and maybe even another high round pick next year, suddenly I don't feel so great about it. I don't.
No.
I won't.
That's a definite no.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that.
I won't give up anything to acquire Zegras. But does he make the team better? Is it more attractive on paper? Yeah. I also find he's that player that's caught in between where he thinks he's an $8 million player, but the majority of the NHL sees him as what he's getting paid right now, in and around that. Right. So he's at a bit of an impasse right now. He's got to figure out who he wants to be and the type of player that he actually is.
Well, I think he's at a perfect situation. I think you said it perfectly. He has the potential. And he's at the crossroad where if he goes down one path, he might become the next Galchenyuk. But if he goes down another path, it's possible, right? Like you're hearing things. I'm not saying exactly all the crazy thing about Galchenyuk with the things that have just recently happened, but look at the promise he showed in his first two seasons in Montreal.
Micro-barrel light.
Let's not talk about that. And I'm not suggesting there's anything to do with like drugs or anything like that. I'm just saying from a hockey perspective, you look at the promise that Galchenyuk showed in his first couple of years, and then this and that and whatever, and outside context and family this and his dad that, and all these things played factors where suddenly, you know, and injuries as well. And I think Zegras also had an injury, right, that kept them out for a bit. Like, it's possible. It's possible that all of a sudden all this promise goes down the toilet. Versus, it's possible maybe you get him out of that environment, you stick him with his buddy, you stick him in a really hotbed market because the kid clearly likes the attention, and perhaps he flourishes and becomes the next who knows what. I don't know. I just know that, to your guys' point, and I think I'm in full agreement with you, you don't give anything and everything to get him. But if you can make some sort of deal work, a hockey deal, without giving up the world, yeah, I still would want him here. Even with all the rumors about what he's in the locker room and stuff, I think he makes your team better. With that aside, 5 minutes left for this one. I want to keep it at about 40 minutes, gentlemen, so don't take too long answering this. Now that we've officially pivoted, I say official because I really do want to reiterate that the Monahan trade, to me, was the official moment where they're sellers, they're done, it's over, it's finished. Kaput. You have your three goalies still. What do you do if you're St. Louis, Kent Hughes, Jeff Gordon? What do you do? Are you showcasing? Do you need to showcase Allen anymore? But do you play him more? Do you play Primo a lot more to see what you really got in the kid? Do you just stay the course and every other game it's the other goalie? What should they be doing now with the goalie situation?
I would stay the course, although it's not ideal, because the way I see it is, and from everything that we've read and whatever, Kent Hughes has a fixed price for Allen. It's either he gets or he doesn't. He has no problems keeping him. Just he has no problems moving him if it all makes sense. If you constantly keep showcasing the player and you're putting him out there and whatnot, you're kind of saying you're changing your tune. You're saying one thing, but you really mean another. If you just go status quo and it's okay, play when he plays, everyone knows what Allen can bring. Everyone has seen Allen. He's a veteran. He's 32 or 33 years old at this point. It's not like you watching the next 3, 4, 5 games that he plays that's going to change how you feel about him. You know, even if he goes on a heater, it's not going to be like, okay, he's a Vezina winning goalie and he's going to change our team instantly. He's a support tender. That's what he is.
Nice though.
It would be
picking up a hot goalie for your backup if you went on a heater.
It would be, but at the same time, it's just I wouldn't want to look like I'm saying one thing, saying he's not available, but in reality, I'm stuffing him down your throat. Like, you take him. So just keep doing what you're doing. If you move him, great. If you don't, well, I have no problems keeping him. He's a veteran. He does other good things for my team anyway.
So keep the three all the way to the end.
Till the trade deadline at the very least, yeah. Keep. This is the moment where last episode we were like, okay, I understand why they made the Monahan deal now. This is one of those. Wait as long as you can. Wait as long as close as possible.
But the wait as long as you can is you saying they should just every other game play a different goalie. Don't yeah. Change that up. Okay.
Well, they're going to have no choice because they're going to lose a goalie no matter what. And this is I prefer not losing a goalie who's an NHL caliber goalie for nothing. So no, in this question. Case, we're talking about Primo. It would have to go through waivers if you really want to resolve going through a three goalie tandem at this point. Or you wait to see who's going to make you the best offer or the offer that's as close as possible to what you need. And make no mistake, there's goalies that are very tired right now and that are not performing the same way. Goalies this year is like such a weird, weird thing. I mean, even what's going on with the New York Rangers right now, it's just Sturkin and Quick. It's weird this year in goaltending. So there are teams that are going to at some point knock on the door and say, okay, realistically, if you're asking for a first, it's a no. But what can we do to make this deal happen? We need a goalie. It's going to happen. Just play the game of chicken with these teams.
All right, I'll come back to you in a second. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm okay with that, but something has to change, man. Like, King Primo playing, he's played 10 games, he has 10 starts this season, I think. Like, it's not enough, man. It's either, you're forgetting, like, 2 years ago he played 10 games, and you're like, okay, he's developing, he got his 10 games in NHL. But then he went and he played, like, 40 in the AHL. It doesn't make sense for him to just play 10 games, or he's going to be on average to play like 15, 16 games this season. Like, you can't develop a player playing 16 games in a season. It doesn't make sense to me if you really want to see what you have in Primo, unless you've decided that he's not the guy or whatever, but it's not fair to him. And I'm okay with waiting to the last possible second to see if you could deal Jake Allen and playing a game of chicken and whatnot, but you got to get Jake Allen out of here or one of these guys out of here. I'm assuming it's going to be Jake Allen, as is everyone else, but I'm not a big fan of this three goalie system. I don't think it works. I don't think any of these three goalies were like can't miss guys that you don't want to lose for nothing. Like it never made sense to me. And I get that they have the luxury in this season to do something like this. It's not going to cost them anything in the long run, except for development maybe. But it's just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And I think that this falls into this category. I don't like how it is, how it's gone. You don't know how Caden Primo could have developed had he been back in Laval, or had he been playing more games here. Like, it's not as if it's going to, like, I'm not saying it's killed his development, you know, but you can't say that this has helped his development either.
No,
and which is not what you want as a professional organization to be able to point at that player 5 years from now and be like, we did everything we could to help him develop. Like, they did not do that.
So what would you do then? Because the question was not like who's going to get traded or whatever, is what would you do? Vito is of the mindset, keep every other game, switching them up, get to the trade deadline.
Like I said, it's not ideal, but yeah.
I agree. Like, that's what you do. That teams are going to start knocking for Jake Allen. Deal him. Get as much as you can. Deal him. That's it. I don't care what you get. Deal him. Move him. That's it. Okay, the Jake Allen era is over. Turn the page. That's
it. Are you guys comfortable if Hughes refuses to move from what he wants? I don't know what he wants, but let's say he's just not given what he wants and he says, I'm keeping him. And now you got the three post-trade deadline. Or is that a huge, huge, huge fail? Should do anything.
Again, it's not a huge, huge, huge fail, because at the end of the day, they have the luxury to be able to do it. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So it's not a huge fail. But it's a failure in the sense that that's not the right thing to do. So playing them
every other game, yes, is like, at some point you got to, like, obviously Monty gets the majority of the starts, but given now that the season is done, mm-hmm, like, shouldn't you see what you have with Primo? Shouldn't he get five games in a row and see what's up?
And it's a questionable move, and that we often talk as fans in the media, it's often talked about how people treat their players and you do the right thing by the player and you do this. Like, I don't know if they did the right thing by any of these guys this year, except maybe Montembeau, who I don't know if is too affected by it. But I don't know if you ask Caden Primo, did the Habs do right by you today, if he's going to have the opinion that, yeah, they did. I don't know if you ask Jake Allen at the end of the year, did the Habs do right by you, or did they put you in a...
on a personal level and a monetary value, they did right by Caden
Primo. I was going to say.
He's like a full NHL contract, but development and all that. No, in the AHL, he wouldn't have gotten that.
No, he wouldn't have gotten that. Like, okay, fine. If that's, if he's the character type that he'd rather have a couple of more dollars, that's not as opposed to being developed properly, then fine. I mean, I guess that's a plus. Doing right by him financially, that doesn't impress me. And I don't think that that's something that players look at. Like, I don't know. It just, to me, I don't know if they did the right thing by these guys. That's all I'm saying.
That's very fair, gentlemen. And I think we're going to call it there. And we're a little bit over what I wanted to keep us at, but I think it was well worth the question. And for those that made it to the end here, 42 plus minutes in, thank you so much for sticking with us. And of course, like we like to throw out the questions to you guys, let us know in the comments, who would be your ideal guy to go out there next in the offseason that's upcoming, that you would say they should really go all in if you want to go bazooka style and go get a really huge name, who and how? And if you think somebody, you know, that could fit that second line to really bring it to the next level, who do you think that might be? And of course, if you want to chime in about the goalie carousel situation as well, we'd be happy to hear it and read it and respond like we typically do. So as always, thanks so much for listening, guys. For Vito, Dave, and Matt, this was
Get Pucked.